praise Yahweh. You know, a subject near and dear to our hearts. Money, you know, when it comes down to it, we have a hard time parting with it. Sometimes it just leaves us, especially if it's ill-gotten. But, Matthew 6:21 basically says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so we want to take a look at the subject of tithing, and it is lesson 20 in the Bible correspondence course. But, we're given different things, different insights in Scripture. You know, it talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. And those that pursue it with that type of attitude, loving it, they pierce themselves with all sorts of sorrows. So there's something to be said about, not being greedy, not wanting to get ill-gotten gain or, any way you can get it, that type of attitude. And we see a lot of that in the world. We see during, stock market crashes and stuff that, people lose even just half their wealth. They end up committing suicide because they can't deal with the pressures of having that type of loss. It's sad, but, that's where people are at today. They put a lot of their faith in wealth, and we're not to do that. But what's one way Yahweh provides for the work? Well, the title of the study gives the answer, but a deep look into both the Old and New Covenants provide a clear picture of what Yahweh, or how Yahweh does things in an orderly and fair manner, not changing, but keeping a standard for doing things that he wants done. Since Yahweh owns everything, yes, even the chair that you're sitting on, whether you made it or someone else, Yahweh provided the raw materials, including the creative thinking abilities mankind has to have made such an item. Yahweh only says that one-tenth, pretty easy, we have 10 fingers, one out of 10 is one-tenth, of all increase that one may have is his. That's it. If you make a little, little is required. If you make a lot, little is still required. But it is the same portion that is required, even if you had made little. It's always one-tenth. The tithing principle goes all the way back to Abram, whose name was eventually changed to Abraham, who tithed to Yahweh by means of the priest of Melchizedek. Abraham's grandson Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, also tithed to Yahweh. Tithing of one's increase was commanded and given to the Levitical priesthood so that they could perform the work and duties they needed to do for Yahweh. Part of that was expounding upon the law and presenting the way of Yahweh to people. But the Apostle Paul in the New Testament set the example of not taking from the work, but working himself at a trade to provide for his own sustenance so as not to hinder the work of Yahweh. Today we find that we are not normally in a position to give of agriculture, since less than 2% of the population actually works directly in it. We receive monetary increase from the work we do, and we provide a tenth of it for Yahweh's work. In Yahweh's figurative warehouse today, there is spiritual food that is provided in the form of magazines, booklets, mini studies, video DVDs, audio CDs, and other tools for outreach such as internet websites. All of these and more proclaim Yahweh's word and are likened unto spiritual food for the sheep. Though thousands of years separate the time from Abram to our own, tithing can be seen as Yahweh's way of making sure his work continues in an orderly and progressive manner. Nothing has really changed other than the physical form or means of the tithe. The first tithe has always been and will always be Yahweh's. And when we talk to people about the tithing principles that Yahweh has, and that the first tithe is his, and we'll talk about the second and also a third tithe, if you didn't know about that, there are things that those are for. But the first tithe is Yahweh's, and when we talk to people, we say, well, this is between you and Yahweh, ultimately. Whether you give to the assembly or to another assembly, it's up to you. Ultimately, it's between you and Yahweh. We don't really, at least I don't personally, keep tabs on anyone. So I don't, spend a lot of time with that. What I do spend time with is with the resources that do come in, and we understand that there are those that tithe and give offerings. We focus on making good use of those things, and promoting the word is the main gist of why we're here. And of course, there's facilities here and also overseas, and things that we help in maybe some small manner, sometimes larger manners of doing things. But it all comes from the tithing process, the process of giving and then giving to others and providing for them. But ultimately, it's providing for Yahweh's word to go forth. But the first tithe has always been and will always be Yahweh's. It's a matter between the individual and Yahweh. It's Yahweh's. So it's not, an individualist, I'm not receiving the tithes. I don't get paid for being up here and speaking today. I work just as, the rest of us work. And the same goes for Elder John and Deacon Lucas. We don't get salaries and these type of things. The purpose for this is for the work, the word, to go forth. And we know it won't come back to Yahweh void. And so we know that it's serving a purpose. Amazingly enough, Yahweh gives us the means to enjoy ourselves and to be able to travel to his commanded appointed times, his moedims, or feast days, as listed in Leviticus 23. Scriptures tell us that we are to gather together three times a year during Yahweh's harvest times. These are unleavened bread, Pentecost, and tabernacles. The second tithe is allowed is to allow one to have the means to attend these feasts. Ancient Israel was instructed in Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 26, if the way to travel was too far to take food and livestock, the increase from the land, then convert it to money, verses 24 through 25, and to take. In addition, it says we can spend that money on anything we like, verse 26. And eat before Yahweh and rejoice. Attending these feasts is like a refresher vacation for the whole family to study, to worship, and to rest in his peace at the place in which he places his name. Yahweh has not forgotten your neighbors in their areas that may be in need. Called the year of tithing, counted from the first of each sabbatical year, the third year is when the third tithe is brought forth for the poor in many areas. Many agencies that help the poor today are subsidized by tax dollars, which we typically pay throughout each year. However, Yahweh's way is just another way to let our light shine in our own local communities by setting aside a third tithe once every 7 years for the poor. It's in a process of every third year. But we are promised blessings if we are obedient in tithes and offerings, which Yahweh desires to be freely given as his commands, dictate. Essentially, we are to be obedient children, and this is one aspect of a broad spectrum of things that we are to pay attention to. With all that said, I typically don't like to read that much all at once, but it's important that we go through these things in this course in such a way that those receiving it can then take the test and receive a passing score. That's the hope. And many do take the Bible Correspondence course and have passed it. Some overseas, I do recall one individual, the first individual is from overseas, took the course, failed every lesson at least once, but kept at it. And he was the first one to finish and receive a passing certificate, and this was done. And so We don't give up on people, and you know, we don't expect them to give up on Yahweh, and but they're to you know, go through these things as they're enabled to, and do the best that they can. So the first point in the lesson 20 here, and the question is, does tithing and giving of offerings to Yahweh honor Yahweh? Well, we go to Scripture and we find out the answer. In Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, it says, honor Yahweh from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, this is coming you know, from an agricultural, you know, aspect. And there are those that would say, well, tithing doesn't need to be done today because that was food that was to be given. But, you know, even in looking at how the process of traveling for the feast, you know, you have an increase from the ground, but you also can convert that to funds. But it's all an increase. So the tithing principle, whether it's food or monies, exists. So is it more blessed to give than to receive? Well, Acts 20 and verse 35 says clearly, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Master Yahshua, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the Institute for Research on Unlimited Love by Stephen G. Post, PhD, states in an article called It's Good to Be Good, Health and a Generous Heart, says, there is a striking amount of evidence to support the hypothesis that benevolent emotions, attitudes, and actions centered on the good of others contribute to the giver's happiness, health, and even longevity. You know, it helps lengthen them telomeres in our DNA. Although the benevolence is chiefly about the well-being of recipients, it also nourishes the giver. Researchers in the social sciences and health outcomes look for a convergence of results across a variety of methods in order to determine the truth of any hypothesis. The evidence that doing unto others is good for the giver has reached a high threshold with regard to everyday kindness and good deeds that bestow upon the giver a feeling of meaning, buoyancy, and warmth, something we can all use, especially in this cold weather. But the 47-page article ends with over 10 pages of professional reference works and documented studies backing up the conclusions. And so what Yahweh has told us, what Yahshua has told us, essentially is correct, and science backs this up. Number two of the lesson asks the question, is it an act of worship to support the work of Yahweh with our tithes and offerings? So when we think of worship, we might think of just coming here, singing songs, praising him, but it's also giving of our increase and our substance. And, you know, in Scripture it talks about not delaying. And so, you know, we do this on a regular pattern as our, you know, checks come in, these type of things from our work. But in Leviticus 27 and verses 30 through 33, it says, thus all the tithe of the land and the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree is Yahweh's. It is set apart to Yahweh. If therefore a man wishes to redeem any part of his tithe, he shall add one-fifth to it. For every tenth part of the herd or flock, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy to Yahweh. It is not to be concerned whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. If he does exchange it, then both it and its substance shall become holy. It shall not be redeemed. So best to give rather than take, as it will cost you more if you do. And this principle I knew about this many years ago, and to pay my rent when I was like 20, I took for my tithe, his tithe, and I paid back one-fifth to it. And my understanding at that time was 20%, one from five. But some say, well, the Jews, you know, they have they interpret this as 25%. Well, I'm not sure. All I knew is that at the time and afterwards, I mean, I was determined never to take from the tithe again. And so, you know, faithfully have been, you know, providing the first tithe. Because it's not mine, it's Yahweh's. And this is something that, you know, I've understood for a long time. Am I blessed? Yes. Not necessarily monetarily, though the promise is that, you know, these type of things can be given to us. But not everyone is like Abraham, you know, having everything that, you know, and in abundance beyond what people normally have. But we find that in Malachi 3, 8:12, there is a promise, but there's also a warning. Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, well, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are all cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says Yahweh, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. You know, we are rich beyond belief in the understanding that we have of Yahweh's word. And this is part of the, I think, the heavens opening up and helping us, that the blessing overflows. It says, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor your vine in the field cast its grapes, says Yahweh of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says Yahweh of hosts. And of course, Israel was to set the example for all the nations. You know, what kind of good laws do these people have that they are so prosperous? But our own living conditions, as we do well, can and will improve with time. Ultimately, we look forward to the kingdom, even living that life now on higher ground, and looking forward to inheriting all things. I mean, the increase will be beyond our comprehension. In Matthew 23, in verse 23, this really helps us to understand that, you know, law is not done away with. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness, but these are things you should have done without neglecting the others. So Yahshua is not saying, don't tithe, you know, all you have to do is love and have mercy and faithfulness and do justice. No, he's saying do all of it. And so our righteousness is going to have to exceed that of the Pharisees. Well, how is it going to exceed it? Well, by having the weightier matters, including the written law in action. But one of the things that Yahshua pointed out to Simon Peter, and therefore to us, is that if we truly love him, we will feed his sheep. His being not Peter's, but Yahweh's sheep, the master's sheep. He's the master shepherd. John 21, 15 through 17. So when they had finished breakfast, Yahshua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, master, you know that I love you. He said to him, well, in the King James, it says, feed my lambs. And he said to him again, second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, master, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd, in the New American Standard Bible, it says, but in the King James, it said, feed my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, master, you know all things. You know that I love you. Yahshua said to him, feed my sheep. Well, the message is clear. We are to serve and help others. And the process of doing that in Yahweh's economies is to help them to understand his ways. Well, how do you do that today? Well, John 10, verses 11 through 11 and 14 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. This is figurative wording for those that Yahweh is calling and that Yahshua has chosen to be the good shepherd of. Question number three, or section number three, Do tithes now bring in spiritual food to the storehouse for distribution as it once did with the physical food? Well, King Hezekiah gave instructions to the people to bring the tithes in so that the work would not be hindered. A lot of these things we can see the extension to our own time and how it works. In 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 5, as soon as the order spread, the sons of Israel provided in abundance the first fruits of grain, new wine, oil, honey, and all the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of all. And for us, all would be of our increase monetarily, because we're not working out in the fields normally. We're not raising fruits and vegetables and then taking those in along with animals. Our society has changed a bit for us. And for us to understand the agricultural aspects back at this time, we have to understand that that is what was around them. That is what they were doing. And that was of their increase. But we have the ability to make things and to sell them and to have an increase monetarily and to take a tenth, the same principle that we find going all the way back to Genesis and throughout with Yahweh's people, that this process continues with us even today. Well, here's clear instruction from Yahweh. Malachi 3 and verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the warehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. There are automatic blessings for obedience, but some may say this was only for the Levitical way of doing things with physical food, but we have to look at what this all means for us today in Messiah. Hebrews 7, 11 through 12. Now, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of the law also. Notice it doesn't say a doing away of the law, a change, a transfer from the physical to the spiritual. Also, we do physical things to promote the spiritual. And in promoting Yahweh's word and doing these things cohesively and in a proper and orderly manner, we have a figurative storehouse today in this assembly building. And other assemblies also do things that are similar. But being filled with spiritual food for distribution in the form of literature, that is magazines, newsletters, mini studies, in-depth booklets, this Bible correspondence, etc. The media resources, MP3, CDs, DVDs, websites, all to help people learn of Yahweh's word so that they may walk in it. The need for tithes and offerings also provides for ministerial trips to those in prison. We were talking about this in the Bible study in Wichita, Kansas. There's one in prison, there's one outside of prison, but he's physically unable to travel this distance. So we're looking at traveling to go out there. And so tithes and offerings helps provide for this. And it's all working together. And this is how Yahweh does things. He does things so that His word can go forth. And when it's neglected, it's noticed, and individuals like King Hezekiah and other times of his history, Nehemiah and others stepped up and got things back into order. And so if things are out of order, we step up and bring things back into order. Order according to Yahweh's word. And that's where we have to go to understand what we should be doing. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. This was speaking, of course, Yahshua, who has done this and is still working today through us. Matthew 25, going into the prisons even. Matthew 25, 34 through 36. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, and naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Do we understand, you know, all of this? I trust that we do. It's good to review and to understand how this applies today. Philippians 4:15 through 18. You yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the evangel, after I left Macedonia, no assembly shared with me in the manner of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs, not that I seek the gift itself, but seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to Elohim. Gifts are able to provide for the work through obedience and principles of tithes and free will offerings. Even when we send funds, and we do overseas, we just sent recently some, but we do this and we usually designate it for whatever project or need that they have, but we'll send it as a gift through, but it's coming from directly from tithes and offerings. Number four, the question is a second tithe to ensure that people have sufficient funds to participate and enjoy his feast? You know, Yahweh provides, and in Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 25, we read, you shall surely tithe all the produce of what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. You shall eat of it in the presence of Yahweh your Elohim at the place where he chooses to establish his name. The tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, the firstborn of your herd and of your flock, so that you may learn to fear Yahweh, your Elohim, always. If the distance is so great for you that you are not able to bring the tithe, since the place where Yahweh, your Elohim, chooses to set his name is too far away from you, when Yahweh, your Elohim, blesses you, then you shall exchange it for money. Bind the money in your hand and go to the place which Yahweh, your Elohim, chooses. Continuing in verse 26 through 29, you may spend the money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen, sheep, wine, strong drink, whatever your heart desires. There you shall also eat in the presence of Yahweh your Elohim and rejoice, you and your household. Also you shall not neglect the Levite who is in your town, for he has no portion or inheritance among you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe from your produce, and that year you shall deposit it in your town, the Levite, because he has no portion or an inheritance among you. And the alien, the orphan, the widow, who are in your town, shall come and eat and be satisfied, in order that Yahweh your Elohim may bless you in all the work in which you do. So the work in which you do, the increase thereof, you provide Yahweh his portion, because it's his, and that just takes it right off the top. And then there's a second tithe, in which is for you to keep the feast, to enjoy the time with other brethren, but essentially to praise Yahweh, to come before his presence with rejoicing. And in Tabernacles, we of course read that we are to come before him 7 days with thanksgiving and joy, and we're to be uplifting one another during these times, because, you know, as we're separated by time and distance, it kind of gets lonely where we're at. We don't necessarily have all the brethren around, and, you know, when we come together, we have an opportunity to, you know, share and to hear and to relate to one another. And, you know, maybe we have some difficulties, you know, okay, that happens. But a lot of times we give testimonies of praise, what things have been done that Yahweh has provided, you know, and we give him praise at these times. But it's for our benefit. in Deuteronomy 26, 12 through 13. When you have finished paying all the tithe of your increase in the third year, your year of tithing, and then you shall give it to the Levite, to the stranger, to the orphan, to the widows. You may eat in your towns and be satisfied. You shall say before Yahweh your Elohim, I have removed the sacred portion from my house, and I have also given it to the Levite, and the alien, the orphan, the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed nor forgotten any of your commandments. So we provide even for those that are not able to, necessarily have the funds to be here. They're provided for through third tithe, and also we have set up an alms fund in which that basically goes directly in there, as well as other free will offerings that are designated for that. And then we provide for those that are in need. We do this because Yahweh says this is what we should do. Now, in general, we do have resources in this country, and I'm speaking just for us here in this country, really, because I'm not sure how it is in the other countries, but a good portion of our taxation, a good portion of that goes to help the poor. Subsidies go to help fund functions that are geared towards helping the poor. So in a sense, this Christian Judeo society that, based upon the Christian Judaic principles, there are things set up in that are geared towards helping the poor and widows. And so we see that there is some help there, but for us helping brethren keep the feast and such, there may be extra second tithe that you don't necessarily need and not planning on spending it. You're joyful enough with what you have, and you can give a portion of that to the alms fund. These are just things we have set up to be able to help and to make it joyful and be able to have those that aren't able necessarily to come be able to do so. So one of the best things we can do today is to plan for tomorrow. That is for the coming kingdom in tomorrow's world. In a sense, the saints are training right now for that future time and reign with Yahshua. Yahweh is allowing his people to plan for and partake in the training and learning of spiritual lessons through physical obedience, a tuition fee, so to speak. Tuition is free since it is Yahweh who is actually providing the means through obedience to him. If one decides to walk in disobedience, they end up forfeiting their right to graduate. There's always a caveat. Hebrews 6, 4 through 8. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, have tasted the good word of Elohim and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified or impale themselves to the son of Elohim and put him to open shame. For ground that drinks in the rain often falls on it and brings forth vegetation useful to those whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from Elohim. But also if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. We can help in the watering and even the planting, but if the storehouse goes empty, to our not doing our part, we have essentially allowed thorns and thistles to go unchecked and will end up resulting in the death of the field. That's why this is all so important. Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 31. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrible expectation of judgment, the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled under the foot the son of Elohim and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he has been sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, Yahweh will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living El. Well, this is speaking, of course, of defiant, willful disobedience. The reason we go over these things is so that we are not ignorant, but that we are knowledgeable to be able to do the things that are pleasing to the Father. And in doing so, we are no longer ignorant, but if we choose, after coming into the knowledge of the truth, even making a commitment, having received Yahweh's Spirit, and we decide, well, I'm just going to do my own thing, and I'm going to do part of it, but I'm not going to do all of it, then you're missing the point. We're to be fully obedient. We're to be hot, not cold. But, you know, we see the assemblies being addressed, some of them, in the first century, and, you know, one was lukewarm. And Yahshua said, proclaimed to them, he was about ready to, you know, spew them out, because it gave foulness to him. And so, again, warnings, we present, and we were talking about this in the Bible study, it's like, you know, with Ezekiel, he was said to speak to the people, tell them their sins, and, you know, otherwise their blood would be on his head. So as we go forward, we're to share these things, and so that we are not held responsible for people's sins. Number five, since it's our substance, isn't everything ours to begin with? Well, the answer is no. Exodus 19:5. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. So conditional blessing, but the point is everything is Yahweh's. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. But you shall remember Yahweh your Elohim, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as is this day. So even when we put forth effort in work, the increase is from Yahweh. Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is Yahweh's, and all that it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Everything also includes everyone. So, you know, even the breath of life is provided to everyone. You read of that in Genesis 2, also Job 33 and verse 4. And those in Messiah especially must take note that they are not their own. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from Elohim, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify Elohim in your body, in your substance, in your increase, in your wealth, as Deuteronomy says, as ultimately Yahweh is saying. Number six, does Yahweh give generously, and will he in fact take care of all of our needs? Well, yes, obviously. He takes care of our needs, not necessarily everything that we want or desire, but our needs are certainly met. Exodus 16, verses 15 through 18. When the sons of Israel saw it, this is speaking of when they received manna, because what is it is basically English for manna. When the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread from which Yahweh has given you to eat. This is what Yahweh has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat, and you shall take an omer, a piece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little, and when they measured it with an omer, he who gathered much had no excess, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. So everyone had what they needed. And Yahshua taught this in his parables in Luke 11 and verse 5 through 10. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come from a long journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. Nice friend. Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. It doesn't say some, it says everyone. So Yahweh is providing for everyone that asks, and even everyone that doesn't ask, because there's rain and, you know, things that are given to everyone. But it's not everyone's time. We're given the opportunity now to have the knowledge of the truth and be granted the Spirit. And, you know, all of this, even before we were born, Yahweh knew that we would be called to this way of life. So we are special in that sense, and we are not only special, but set apart, a particular people, for Yahweh's purpose. But again, we're not going to be the only ones. There are going to be others later. First fruits indicates, you know, there'll be others. But the first of the first, ultimately, Yahshua is the first of the first fruits, but you know, we look forward to a time in which he returns and we will be like him, because we will be changed to be like him. But even now, we're going through the process and doing the things that would be pleasing to the Father. But speaking of everything, or more specifically, any of us, James 1, 5 through 7 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Elohim, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the master. So it's conditional. It's with, conditions that we believe. And this is a faith-based, way that we're, yes, obedience, but faith. We have faith, trusting in Yahweh. And so we're given instruction. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Remember what we had talked about? Love of money is the root of all evil. Being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, Yahweh is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Or what can man do to me? Well, nothing unless Yahweh allows it. And sometimes Yahweh allows things to happen. And sometimes our feelings just are. These happen as well. But we need to trust. We need to believe. We need to have faith that Yahweh will see us through. Philippians 4 and verse 19, and my El will supply all of your needs according to his riches and the glory in Messiah Yahshua. All things are in his capable hands. Therefore, his people do not need to worry. Philippians 4:19, for example. But it is not an excuse to be negligent with what he has been given. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall carefully observe in the land which Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, has given you to possess as long as you live on the earth. Do we give ourselves an excuse by saying we are not in the promised land, therefore this doesn't apply to us? It applies even more so, knowing that we are not to continue in sin, and that since we are in a different land, we are still obligated to be obedient to the cause of righteousness that will be in the kingdom, living that kingdom life even now. Mark 4 21 through 25. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be under a basket, is it, or under a bed? It is brought in to be on the lampstand. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given to you besides. But whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. So what does that all mean? Well, the principle that exists is that if you do what Yahweh says to do, you will be given even more. But if not, then you will be left with nothing, essentially. Even what you think you have will be taken from you. And this relates to our understanding, knowledge. It can also relate to, you know, physical wealth. But, you know, because, you know, going back to Malachi 3, you know, the one thing that Yahweh says we can test him in is, you know, doing what's right in his sight concerning tithing. And he says, if you don't do it, it's stealing. So, we have a study. Never let it be said that you have stolen from Yahweh. Essentially, is what it, you know, and we don't want to do that. It's reiterated in Luke 8:18 what Yahshua was saying. So take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. All right, number 7, moving right along. If we weren't to tithe, would it put a strain on the work? Well, we talked about, Hezekiah, also brought up Nehemiah. Nehemiah 13:10-11. I also discovered that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, so that the Levites and the singers who performed the service had gone away, each to his own field. So I reprimanded the officials and said, why is the house of Elohim forsaken? Then I gathered them together and restored them to their post. Should ministers tithe? Well, yes, Nehemiah 10:38, also Numbers 18:26. But the ministers today are set apart by the Spirit and do not receive wages for performing the duties of a minister, but still tithe on any increase of the work that they do. And, you know, thinking of, you know, if we weren't to tithe, would it put a strain on the work? Obviously. And this is where, this is a place that Yahweh has placed his name. And we think of, when we read through Deuteronomy or Leviticus, and we're thinking where Yahweh has placed his name. Well, obviously that was in Jerusalem at that time. Well, since the destruction of the temple, it goes back to what Yahshua told the woman at the well. Look, Yahweh is not looking for, worshipers here or this mountain, but wherever they are, that will worship him in his spirit and in his truth. What's his truth? The truth is his word. Well, what's his spirit? Well, the spirit is what backs his word, and it's what moves us to keep the truth of his word. And even though we're not in that land, we're in a different land. We're still obligated to be obedient to his laws, and you know, it's applicable to bring the tithe into where he has placed his name. And so it's not just here. There are other locations in which Yahweh's name has been placed. And so I'm not saying exclusively just send your tithes here. I'm saying wherever Yahweh's name is and that is doing the work. And you'll know whether or not they're doing what's right because you'll know them by their fruits. And so whatever is done should be done to his glory and honor, but not everything is done that should be done. And some things are done that should not be done. And I say that to not to, you know, degregate or, you know, put down anyone, but, you know, we see the parallels, Revelation 2 and 3, we see some things happening back then that you know, even to the point where doctrines of Balaam and Jezebel were being brought in, and we see some things that are being taught that shouldn't be taught. And so we have to be discerners of where we put our efforts and do these things. Let's go to number 8. Does a person actually steal from Yahweh by not tithing? Well, go back to Malachi 3, verses 8 through 9. Will a man rob Yahweh or Elohim? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, well, how have we robbed you? Well, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. So for the brethren, one of the sins that could lead to death, and we talk about, 1 John 5:16, you know, sin that leads to death, that would be a willful sin. That would be a willful, repetitive, defiant, you know, I'm going to do it my way and not your way type of sin. It would be refusing to give Yahweh what is rightfully his. It would be a willful, unrepentant sin, which there is no forgiveness, according to Hebrews 10:26. And when considering that we receive 90%, while Yahweh only requires a tenth, the fairness to us becomes self-evident. Number 9, is it true that Paul never recognized nor understood tithing? So some of these questions are, they go back and forth, but obviously Paul would have recognized and understood tithing. 1 Corinthians 9:13-15. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also Yahweh directed those who proclaim the evangel to get their living from the evangel. But I have used none of these, and I am not writing these things so that they will be done so in my case, for it would be better for me to die than to have any man make my boast an empty one. In 2 Corinthians 11:8-9, he goes on to say, I robbed other assemblies by taking wages from them to serve you. And when I was present with you and was in need, I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brethren came to Macedonia, they fully supplied my need, and in everything I kept myself from being a burden to you and will continue to do so. So, you know, his attitude was not that he wouldn't be able to, live off of the, presenting the word, being able to live from that. He was setting the example that we follow today in the sense of not being a burden to the work itself, but providing what we're able to do. So, another question, can it be true that our Savior did not uphold the tithing law? Well, no. Going back to Matthew 23 and verse 23, again, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness, but these are things you should have done without neglecting the others. Yahshua did not sin. Hebrews 4:15 declares that, and certainly would have never encouraged or told anyone else to do so. In fact, he says to go and sin no more to those that he healed and forgave. Number 10, is the third tithe for the poor in your local area? Deuteronomy 14 and verse 28. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year and shall deposit it in your town. In most societies today, there are subsidized programs through government taxation, Romans 13, 1 through 7, for example, which supports and gives aid to the poor via taxes paid by each individual each year. Because of this support today, the third tithe is up to each individual's discretion. But again, would remind everyone that it's still good to give, and there's benefits for us to do so. And it also allows the light of Yahweh to shine, and we also have an alms fund for this very purpose. But the taxation in some cases is far in excess of what it would normally be through the tithing law alone. The third tithe is during the third year within the sabbatical cycle called the year of tithing, because it is a year with three tithes. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 12, when you have finished paying all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, then you shall give it to the Levite, to the stranger, to the orphan, to the widow, that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied, so they can come and keep the feast, so that they can manage their needs. It's a way of, it's like gleaning from the fields. It's like, not harvesting all the way to the corners, leaving something for the people that are in need. Number 11, and I think we're coming down to the last one here, yeah, number 11. Did Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham, give a tithe to the priest of Yahweh? Well, we talked about this earlier, going back to Genesis 14, 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of El Most High. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of El Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be El Most High. This is basically El Shaddai in the Hebrew, or El Elyon, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tenth of all. Before the law was given at Mount Sinai, Abraham was blessed because he was faithfully obedient to Yahweh. Genesis 26, 4 through 5. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. I will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Because we have obeyed, kept his charge, his commandments, his statutes, and laws, the multitudes are blessed, descendants as stars of heaven. It's just a different way of looking at this. We need to put ourselves into the place of those faithful that went before us, doing what they did, and by doing so, bless others. And by doing so, we ourselves are blessed. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, for to this end I also I wrote, so that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. So the question is, will we in all things be faithful too? Colossians 3 and verse 20, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the master. Oftentimes we are, in writing in the scriptures, we're called obedient children, and we don't want to be called the other, disobedient children. But further recommended reading is the booklet called, in this image, The Temple Tenth by Yahweh's Assembly in Yahshua. And I'll just give you a quick summary. It's talking about building the spiritual temple, which applies to the giving of tithings and offerings. The temple is being built up. It's being maintained. It's being supplied by Yahweh's Spirit, yes, and for a dwelling place for Yahweh's Spirit, but also by our actions and what we are doing. We're supportive of what Yahweh is doing. So in summary, what have we learned? Well, we learned that the percentage of one's increase that Yahweh calls his is one-tenth of one's increase. We learned that tithes and offerings are given throughout the year to provide for magazines, DVDs, websites, etc., spiritual food, and allows for a continuation of Yahweh's work. We've also learned that in general, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The third tithe is for the needy in one's own area. Today, less than 2% work in agricultural processes. Tithing and offerings are the one thing that Yahweh tells us to test him in. The Apostle Paul, even though proclaiming the word, worked as a tent maker to not hinder the work of Yahweh. Saving a second tithe to keep the feast is both commanded and is a blessing. It is helpful to be able to afford the feast and is a blessing Yahweh has for those that love him. We have learned Yahweh calls not giving of tithes and offerings stealing. Tithing is as much a form of loving Yahweh and your neighbor as giving a brother a drink of water is, or like giving help as Philip did to the Ethiopian eunuch. Tithing is also giving help to preach the word of Yahweh to all the nations and is a way of showing love to both Yahweh and neighbor. The year of tithing is called such because it was a year in which three tithes were given. If a person takes from the first tithe, they are to add one-fifth when returned, which makes it clear that the first tithe is not ours to keep, no matter our reasoning to the contrary. We have learned one of the sins that leads to death would be what refusing to give Yahweh, refusing to give what Yahweh's, what is Yahweh's. And the first tenth is his. Seed is to the ground as the word is to the world, and spiritual food is best defined as the word. Ministers tithe because they are not exempt from Yahweh's word. The fact that Abram tithed before the law was given at Mount Sinai and the Pharisees were told not to neglect it, nor the weightier matters of the law, and that Yahweh says he does not change, helps show us that the tithing standard is unto all generations. I mean, we looked at it going all the way back to Genesis. And while not everything was made for man nor belongs to him, Yahweh does promise to meet our needs in this life. And a great promise to the one that's to come, which is beyond comparison, things that we go through in this life. And we finally learn that we grow spiritually by being physically obedient to Yahweh and his way of life, which includes the tithing principle. I hope this has been helpful. We find that there are many things that we are to be attentive to, and this is just one of them, of the broad spectrum of things that we should be attentive to in Scripture. It's helpful for us, it's helpful for others, it's helpful to continue the work of Yahweh so that we can help others along the way on this path that leads to eternal life. May Yahweh bless. Hallelujah.